You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 6th, 2020. Take note of this story, please. Listen to this. You know about the accident at that nuclear complex in Iran recently? Happened last Thursday. A warehouse under construction in central Iran. No casualties, no radioactive pollution, we're told. But now Iran is admitting it caused significant damage and could slow the production and centrifuges used to enrich uranium, which could be used to make nuclear weapons. An accident. But, the New York Times now reporting, Israel was behind that explosion. And it has set back Tehran's nuclear program by months, according to the New York Times. And a member of Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps confirming, an explosive was used. It was not an accident. Israel said, we're not going to allow you to have a nuclear weapon, at least if you believe that story. Another weekend, another holiday weekend, and another tragic death toll across the nation, and in particular, Chicago, Dateline, 70 shot, at least 14 of them fatally by 6:45 Central Time last night. From Friday through 6:45 yesterday evening, 70 shot, 14 fatal in Chicago. And again, children are among the innocent victims. You do want to hear what the Atlanta mayor has to say about the death of all these kids in her city and elsewhere across the nation in the midst of the push for Black Lives Matter, and yet black children end up being the victims more often lately. The World Health Organization has updated its timeline to reflect that, yes, we had to admit the Chinese Communist Party never reported its discovery of coronavirus to the World Health Organization, and that the Global Health Agency had to learn about it by its own little self, while at the same time the WHO was praising Chinese transparency. They're quietly admitting it. Don't make a big noise out of it, Larry. I'm sorry, I already did. In Texas, we had a record 8,000-plus Texans with coronavirus hospitalized yesterday, a new daily high. But the issue is raised by one expert, were they hospitalized with COVID or because of COVID? In other words, were they actually suffering from anything, but they seemed to have COVID, so we went ahead and hospitalized to keep a closer watch on them. And the CDC has said repeatedly, we could have 10% of our U.S. population. At least 10% may already have COVID-19, don't know it, no symptoms, and we would never know until they end up being tested. And remember the drug that President Trump said, this might be something that would help, I'm just suggesting, and said, I'm going to take it. Hydroxychloroquine. Researchers at Henry Ford Health System in Southeast Michigan found that if you give it to patients early, they're less likely to die. 66% hazard ratio reduction. 66%. President Trump announcing a new outdoor New Hampshire rally. That's July 11th. It'll be at the Portsmouth International Airport in New Hampshire. In the meantime, new surveys out. We are now, as of Friday, 4 months away from Election Day, November 3rd. And in some states, according to analysts, it's close within the margin of error, but in all the polls, even the national polls, suggesting that Trump is behind at this point. That is, of course, if folks being surveyed are giving the true answer, or if they're just lying, saying, watch the media get this one wrong again. National Football League has said it will play the black national anthem prior to week one games. It will play Lift Every Voice and Sing, also known as a Black National Anthem, before every Week 1 NFL game in the 2020 season. Then they will also play the Star-Spangled Banner. And if you're looking for those who are supporting all this ripping down of monuments and so forth, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, whoever's behind it, I would like an answer as to why did they rip down a monument honoring Frederick Douglass, abolitionist legend? In Rochester, New York, over the holiday weekend, they ripped it down. Do they not know his history? Do they not care? I want you to know his history and why they should have left that alone. But, of course, right now they want to rip and tear down everything in this nation. Everything in this nation.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Heat Bat Production. He got walrus gumbo. He got, no sideboard. He want spinal cracker. He got feet down below his knee. Hold you in his arm, Jay. You can feel his disease. Come together.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We are shooting each other up on our streets in this city, and you shot and killed a baby. And it wasn't one shooter. There were at least two shooters.
The words of the Atlanta mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, saying we're shooting each other. She's referencing the most recent violent act in Atlanta, where an 8-year-old girl was shot to death. An 8-year-old girl, she's in a car with her mother and an adult friend. Now, they are trying to enter a parking lot in that area near where Rashard Brooks was killed, near that Wendy's that was later torched and burned. And someone in the group, as they were trying to drive around a barricade that had been put illegally in place, decided to open fire on the car. The adults are okay, but killed the 8-year-old. What was the 8-year-old doing to get herself in? Not a thing. I saw some pictures of that child, from earlier happy days, a birthday or whatever. What a beautiful, bright smile and bright eyes, and closed forever now. That shooting of that child suddenly prompted the mayor of Atlanta to begin to speak up and talk about where we have been going wrong. We've got all this Black Lives Matter movement. We're trying to get things done. We're trying to get police pulled back in the sense that we want to watch and keep a close watch on them and punish those who are guilty of unlawful restraint and are killing Americans, in particular Black Americans. And I'm all for that. If an officer is acting outside the line of authority, yes, because they have to be held accountable as you or I would be. But it took a death of a child for the Atlanta mayor to begin to make a bold statement.
Enough is enough. Enough is enough. We have talked about this movement that's happening across America in this moment in time where we have the ears and the interest of people across this country and across this globe who are saying they want to see change. But the difference in this moment in time with the civil rights movement, there was a defined common enemy. So we're fighting the enemy within when we are shooting each other up on our streets in this city, and you shot and killed a baby. And it wasn't one shooter. There were at least two shooters. An eight-year-old baby. If you want people to take us seriously and you don't want us to lose this movement, then we can't lose each other.
That is a powerful statement. And I believe she was as sincere as anyone would be in talking about a death of an eight-year-old child who had done nothing wrong and trying to say what we're doing is wrong. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. In that area, you had citizens showing up around that Wendy's. It had been a flashpoint ever since Rashard Brooks' death, killed by an Atlanta police officer June 12th. Remember the one caught on tape, wrestling with the officers, then running away with a taser, turning and firing an officer, and an officer opened fire with a pistol and shot and killed him. I know some folks, well, the taser is not a dangerous weapon. Well, if you listen to the prosecutor of that county, at one time he said it was a dangerous weapon in a previous case, but in this case he said it was not a dangerous weapon, not a lethal weapon with his actual terms. Not going to get into all that case all over again, but that's why everybody's been gathering in that area. And they put up these barriers illegally. And police have been trying to negotiate with them. Take them down. You know, you can't do this. Now the mayor says, we're no longer going to negotiate. And Fox News pointed out that there were three armed men in the vicinity, black men, who said they would not let police enter, saying the police aren't here because they're not going to be here to protect us. Now, no one is saying that any one of those three men are the ones who opened fire on that car, but somebody did not want them driving around the barriers. And there were no police there because they're not allowed to get into the area, just like they were in Seattle. And everybody decided, all right, give them some space, let them work it out. Well, you saw what happened. That's what happened. And now the mayor is acknowledging enough is enough. It has to stop. That's in Atlanta. New York City also had violence over the July 4th weekend. Eight killed, 44 shot. And New York City, one of them taking place in broad daylight in New York. Man just shot down in the street, got captured on video. Chicago, another 70 shot, 14 fatal by 6:45 last evening. From Friday, there's the beginning of the long holiday, through 6:45 last evening in Chicago, 70 shot, 14 of them fatal, and again children, one of them being a 7-year-old. And today, a pastor at the New Beginnings Church in Chicago said something has to be done immediately. We cannot continue to go down this road. His group, he's the executive director of a group called Project Hood, a nonprofit organization, they say, with the goal of ending violence and building communities. And when he was asked, how do you explain this gigantic number of shootings? Brooks said, well, you have a bunch of individuals, young men who are illegal gun owners. Not only are they illegal gun owners, but they're shooting at each other. They're causing havoc in our community. They're causing a lot of destruction. And unfortunately, as a result of their destruction, children are being shot. Innocent bystanders are being shot. And make note of this, friends. Every one of those gang bangers out on the street right now with a gun, illegal, was at one time also a 7-year-old, innocent, doing nothing wrong. And a bullet did not find them before they reached the age that they started carrying a weapon and doing their own shooting. If it had, we'd be talking about their death as a tragedy and focusing on others who shot them. Two of the victims over the weekend in Chicago, the 11, two of the dead were children, including that seven-year-old. The father said, "It hurts me my youngest daughter is no longer here, that I would not be able to talk to her, hold her, tell her anything, bedtime stories, anything. She was playing on a sidewalk when three men got out of a car and shot more than 20 rounds in the direction of folks having a 4th of July celebration. The child never knew what hit her, struck right in the forehead." The pastor says individuals are scared to walk on the street, scared to go to the store, scared to go to the playgrounds. People are afraid to leave the house. And I'm going to add, now you want to talk about, throughout various communities, defund the police, cut them back. We don't want any more police because police are doing nothing but killing young black Americans. We have pointed out repeatedly, more whites are killed every year by police than black Americans. That doesn't justify or say anything one way or the other. I'm just giving you the stats. And yes, if you're talking about proportionally, you could say it's more. But it's not every time, every cop. And it's also the issue that continued to be ignored pretty much, and that is inside the community itself, inside the black community, they are killing each other. The Atlanta mayor just said it. We're turning on each other. We're killing each other. We're losing our message. The message, if you're going to buy into Black Lives Matter, is Black Lives Matter. I don't see the protests in the streets in these communities when you have children shot down like that. I do not see Black Lives Matter in the streets demanding justice for those children. They only come around when there's a police officer involved in a shooting. I'm not even going to get into the webpage of Black Lives Matter that makes it very clear they're not in favor of the total nuclear family, and they want to give women more power, and the men don't have much power in a family, and socialists are driving the issue behind it. Aside from all of that, if you're really going to defend Black Lives Matter, you need to be in the streets, in these neighborhoods, demanding that Black Lives Matter in our community, not only when they're shot by police. And in some of those cases, when they're shot by police, it's a justified shooting. In other cases, it's not. In other cases, we don't know. So we go through a court proceeding to find out. And maybe we get justice, maybe we don't. But the Atlanta mayor, she pointed that out, and I want you to listen to her. Because what she said here is as clear as any bell ringing. This is as loud as a cannon going off if you hear particular words that she makes note of. Please listen.
We've talked a lot about what we are demanding from our officers and our communities. We've protested. We've demonstrated. We've been angry. We've cried. We've demanded action. Well, now we're demanding action for Sequoria Turner. And for all of the other people who were shot in Atlanta last night and over the past few weeks, because the reality is this, these aren't police officers shooting people on the streets of Atlanta. These are members of the community shooting each other. And in this case, it is the worst possible outcome. And there were two other people who were actually shot and killed last night and several others. Enough is enough.
You certainly could not miss her remark if you're listening at all. These were not police officers doing these shootings. In another part of her statement, she said, "We had over 75 shootings in the city over the past several weeks. You can't blame that on the Atlanta Police Department." You can't. Now, she has in her city done things that I think make it tough for police. They passed the no bail money has to be posted if you're released on certain crimes or if you're charged with certain crimes, like they did in New York. She's also in favor of not giving any information or holding anyone for ICE for any deportation. So they're flying in the face of what would make good justice system and sense. But here in this case, she's acknowledging the police are not to blame. And yet, why is the protest out there? Why are they continuing around that Wendy's? Well, the Rashard Brooks case, they want to say, here's a case where police were to blame. Okay, all right. You're making that point. But all these 75 shootings in the past several weeks where police were not involved at all, who are you going to blame then? And when are you going to do something about it inside the community? And I will grant you, many living inside those communities are, as the pastor in Chicago said, frightened. They're scared. They're afraid to come out on the street, much less point out someone that might be a shooter. Because they know what happens inside the community. Snitches get stitches. Or a grave, sometimes. And yet we continue to have a push to defund police and pull them out of communities. Like, who is going to be hurt the worst? It's going to be these very communities. And the Atlanta mayor's in favor of defunding police. And the Chicago mayor, and New York, and L.A., all of these blue city mayors and governors are all in favor of defunding police. And you think you're going to help your crime situation? You think you're going to save lives? And when you got armed gunmen standing around this place saying, we're not going to allow police in because police would just come in and hurt us, you're not protecting your community. That 8-year-old Sequoia Turner should be laughing even right now. Looking forward to maybe when school starts and playing with her friends, but her family's having to plan a funeral. But every time there's a police officer involved in shooting, watch how quick they come and challenge. I'll give you a perfect example when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Dateline, Wisconsin, a police officer fatally shot a 32-year-old black man who was apparently carrying two knives and threatening the officer, but the family says race played a role in it. Now, I'm going to give you background details as I have them. I've not done an independent investigation, some of this from news sources, some from police, and some from witnesses, apparently. It started with a woman saying a guy is running around the knives, two knives, trying to stab me and cut me and other women. So police are called. Of course they would be called. They get there and they see the guy and apparently trying to talk to him to give up the knives. One officer apparently, maybe the responding officer, fired a taser. All this apparently caught on his webcam, body cam incident, a video. We haven't seen it yet, but that's what they say went down, and the video apparently shows what the officer's stating. And even after firing the taser, the guy charged him with the knives, and that forced the officer to use a firearm. The woman was later taken, one of them anyway, was taken to hospital, was treated, then released. This guy has been arrested several times between 2008 and 2019, and here is a key point. Often found not guilty due to mental health issues. He obviously has some psychiatric issues. He's on the streets. He's a danger to himself, and he's a danger to everyone around him. That would be those women that he was chasing. And when police officers show up and he won't drop the weapons, he won't respond when a taser's fired, and he continued, according to the officer, charge at him, the officer fired and shot him, killed him. And yet a cousin says, but because he's black, he was considered as a threat from the beginning. No, he was considered a threat because he had two knives in his hand. The cousin goes on to say, this stuff has been going on around the world. This is why everyone is protesting. This is why we're upset. The color of our skin should not determine whether we are taken into custody or taken to the morgue. You're absolutely right. That should not do it. But in this case, it was not the color of his skin. It was the knives in his hand and the fact he wouldn't drop them. Again, he's a mental case, and we know that there are a lot of folks like that and obviously needed help and not gotten it, and it ends in his death. Could have been in the death of a police officer as well, or one of the women, or more. The ACLU comes rushing in, oh, we want an open, transparent investigation. We don't know why they killed him instead of handling this in a nonviolent way. My God, do you want to be the ACL director? Do you want to go in there and talk to that guy? He's got knives chasing women around. Do you want to get him to give up those knives? I dare you. This is what they're going to do in L.A. in many cases. They're not going to send police if they don't think they need them. We can send a social service worker or a mental health care worker who is familiar with these cases. They can kind of talk to them and get them to be okay and not do anything. You think? I've asked before, do you want a police officer? Do you want to be a police officer nowadays? My question now, do you want to be a social justice warrior and helper that you go to the scene of these unarmed without any police support and you try to talk the person out of the knives or try to solve a domestic issue which suddenly goes violent in a flash? Maybe because they're mentally unstable, maybe because they don't like the color of your shirt or your blouse. It's a dangerous situation out there, and it's more so, but what gets me is every time someone of color is a victim, then it has to be police were wrong. Has to be. I told you before, you want to make me believe in Black Lives Matter, you go into these cities where we got children being murdered by gangs and thugs, and you protest on behalf of them. President Trump the other day mentioned an abolitionist in his speech the other night, July 4th, at Mount Rushmore. I want to go back over that story. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-4950. 800-617-4950. 800-617-4950. That's 800-617-4950.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We are the country of Andrew Jackson, Ulysses S. Grant, and Frederick Douglass. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children.
The words of President Trump last Friday at Mount Rushmore as he launched the long weekend in honor of July 4th. Standing at Mount Rushmore, defending those on that granite in South Dakota, and saying it will never be torn down, it will stand. And he listed several others. And you heard him mention then Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was an escaped slave who became a prominent activist, author, public speaker. He became a leader in the abolitionist movement, which sought to end the practice of slavery before and during the Civil War. The North was no longer, what Douglass did in part was the North no longer obliged to return slaves to any owners in the South, and he was fighting for equality for his people, the black people, Frederick Douglass being a black man. And he made plans with Abraham Lincoln to move the liberated slaves out of the South. And during the war, Douglass helped the Union cause by serving as a recruiter for the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment, which was an all-black Union Army regiment led by a white commander, and they fought valiantly and to the death. We had folks dying on both sides of that, and many of them may not have not sure what their side was or what they believed in, but they were wrapped up in it or under orders or just pressured. Who knows? But we had deaths on both sides. And I know there'll be some saying, well, I don't care if some cracker died while they were trying to free slaves. It's fine by me. I'm just looking at the fact of what it did to the nation. But it was needed. It was needed because the southern states, led by Democrats, who had formed the KKK and were enforcing Jim Crow laws, were doing everything they could to maintain slavery and also states' rights. That's another issue. You cannot deny that. And the states wanted their decision. They will make their decision, they could. But still, it's repugnant. It's offensive that you would treat people as cattle, putting them on the auction block, selling them, dividing up families. Frederick Douglass was one of those leading the reform to get rid of slavery. And you know what happened over the 4th of July holiday in Rochester, New York? There's a statue of Frederick Douglass. One of 13 placed around Rochester in 2018 to celebrate his what would have been his 200th birthday. In 2018, one of them was vandalized by two teenagers. He said they were drunk, had no political motive, although one eyewitness disagreed. But then recently, and the attack over the weekend, the attack on the statue, no motive, but clearly somebody didn't know who he was or just thought would tear it down. Or maybe they did. Maybe they tore it down and they are a, quote, white supremacist and they wanted to get rid of it. I don't know. And to my knowledge, no one knows for sure. But we have too many folks just ripping down statues without regard to history or what they did. And if it happened to be some, as we saw the attacks on Ulysses S. Grant, who led the Union Army to victory over the Confederates, and they were attacking and vandalizing his statue, or Abraham Lincoln, who signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and a statue of him with a freed slave breaking his chains near him, and they vandalized and attacked that. So I don't know what they want other than total chaos and disrupting this country. Black Lives Matter activists have been recent years quoting a speech in which Douglass did call the 4th of July a sham because of slavery. Now, that's very close to what we saw from the DNC saying July 4th is a celebration of white supremacy. And it's also close to Colin Kaepernick saying it's a white supremacy celebration. I'm going to allow it's being close, But here's what they're not doing. Because in the remainder of the same speech, he praised America's founding and its principles. He was born Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey in 1818. Died in 1895. As I said, an American social reformer, abolitionist, orator, writer, statesman. He had escaped from slavery in Maryland and became a national leader of the abolitionist movement in Massachusetts and New York. He was noted for his powerful speaking and anti-slavery writings. In fact, at one time, abolitionists at that time looked at him as a living counterexample to slaveholders' arguments that slaves, quote, lack the intellectual capacity to function as independent American citizens. And there were even Northerners at the time that found it hard to believe that Someone who could speak this effectively and write this well had ever been a slave. I mean, how could he possibly be this smart? Because it gets back to what Dr. Martin Luther King has said. It is not your skin color that will define you. And I got someone else with that same viewpoint you'll hear in a few moments. Douglass wrote several autobiographies, one of them describing his life, his experiences as a slave. Narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, an American slave in 1845. His second book, My Bondage and My Freedom, in 1855. You can still get those books. I encourage you to get them and read them if you haven't. They are powerful. He also actively supported women's suffrage. He did become the first African-American nominated for Vice President of the United States. Are you aware of that? Nominated for Vice President of the United States as a running mate and Vice Presidential nominee of Victoria Woodhull on the Equal Rights Party ticket. Firm believer in the equality of all peoples, be they white, black, female, Native American, or Chinese. He didn't care. All peoples are equal, very much like our Constitution says. He believed in dialogue and making alliances, even if he had racial and ideological differences, that try to make alliances and find the common ground where you can have something together. In fact, some of the radical abolitionists under the motto, No Union with Slaveholders, did not like Douglass being willing to engage in dialogue with anyone, including slave owners. They thought he was wrong to do that. You know what his answer was? I would unite with anybody to do right and with nobody to do wrong. My God, what a powerful quote. I will unite with anybody to do right and with nobody to do wrong. He was actually a mixed race, which included Native American and African on his mother's side, as well as European. One historian, David Blight, in a 2018 biography of Douglass, said that his father was, quote, almost certainly white. Douglass claimed his mother gave him his grand name, and after escaping in the North years later, he took the surname Douglass, dropping his two middle names. He did write at one point of his earliest times with his mother. He said, the opinion was, whispered, that my master was my father. The correctness of this opinion, I know nothing. And yet, his statue was torn down on the 4th of July. And President Trump, who the left and the DNC even said is celebrating white supremacy on July 4th, made a point to mention Frederick Douglass. Oh, Larry, he was pandering. He just kind of threw it in there to kind of, you know, pick up a few points. Oh, yeah, you want to believe that? Go ahead. You're entitled to your opinion, your belief. But I do believe a lot of folks don't even know the history of Frederick Douglass. I gave you just a smattering. I encourage you to learn more about this guy. I mean, anybody who says, I will unite with anybody to do right and with nobody to do wrong, that's someone I want to be with. I want to be like him, as a matter of fact. And I'm probably failing in many ways. But I like that attitude. But right now we have such a push to destroy, rip down monuments. If they have a uniform on, they must have been Confederacy. We've got to rip them down. If a statue of anyone is standing, it's got to be wrong. Let's tear it down. And even if it were torn down, if it had been torn down by white supremacists that wanted to use this opportunity to bring it down, they got that opportunity. They were encouraged and incited by all the ripping down of the other heritage and historical monuments across the nation, be they Confederate or Ulysses S. Grant or Abraham Lincoln. There was an American flag at a construction site in Richmond, Virginia, and police said, you need to take it down. Take down an American flag? Well, what they were trying to say, we're concerned it would be a target, so maybe you need to remove it. And the company decided, okay, we'll bring it down just so we don't have destruction to the property that we're trying to build or anything. I'd say, why don't you do your job to protect that flag and the building where we're putting up? but they decided to bring it down. Last week, I wanted you to hear some remarks by Dr. Ben Carson, black neurosurgeon, now the HUD secretary, and what he has to say about the color of skin, how it makes you or doesn't make you. We had trouble playing those audio bites. I want you to hear them coming up in the next segment. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm going to warn you right now that I'm going to use a word in a moment that's going to be offensive to many. And I know it's going to be offensive. Regardless of your color, it's going to be offensive to many. But particularly if you are a black American. First, you should know probably who Candace Owens is, American commentator, American conservative, initially critical of Trump and the Republican Party, but now increasingly supporting Trump and criticizing Black Lives Matter and the Democrat Party. Black woman doing that. Now, also Herman Cain, many of you would know, business executive, syndicated columnist, Tea Party activist. He was a former Republican presidential candidate at one time, remember? Again, a black man. Many of you know Larry Elder, who has a radio program on this same station later in the day from L.A., a black American as well. You know Kanye West, of course, a rapper who has stood beside Trump and supported him, although now he's talking about that he might run for president. Herman Cain, Candace Owens, not Kanye West, his name was left off, but the Hodge twins, two black men who kind of have their own little patter going, and they're very conservative. Diamond and Silk, two black women, as you probably know, that are very supportive of Trump and so forth. Many of them critical, openly critical, Black Lives Matter movement, have been smeared. And an Instagram, which the faces of them and others, a total of 11 black conservatives were arranged in the style of the Brady Bunch. Remember the 70s sitcom? But instead of labeling them the Brady Bunch, they were labeled the Coon Bunch. Coon, C-O-O-N. That is offensive. It's offensive to use that term just as the N-word is. But it has become a common slur black Americans will use against black conservatives, along with Uncle Tom, is also offensive. But black liberals will call out black conservatives as being Uncle Tom as well. They believe Uncle Tom or the coon, as they're using in this case, would be those who sold out to white people or reject liberal thinking and Democrat Party. The rapper Snoop Dogg put this together. He did it. He decided, I'm going to call them out and label them as this way. He did not mention Kanye West because he can still work with him, and he thinks Kanye West just got brainwashed by Trump. But the rest of them, no, he calls them out. He did not have on that picture list Dr. Ben Carson, the current Housing and Urban Development Secretary. Dr. Ben Carson, who also ran for the White House at one time, neurosurgeon in the past. And Dr. Carson has said, you know, it's not your skin color that makes you. And as a neurosurgeon, he knows because he's looked at the brain.
Interestingly enough, you know, one of the heroes of everybody of our history is Dr. Martin Luther King. And what did he advocate for? A colorblind society. Yeah. He said, I dream of a time when people will be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Here we are putting everything in the context of color of skin, of external characteristics. And as I've said before, those things don't really matter at the same way as your brain does. You know, when I open up somebody's head and I'm operating on their brain, there is nothing in there that says this is a black person or a white person or a yellow person or a brown person. And that is the thing that actually makes you who you are.
That's not so hard for you to understand, really, but you got folks who believe, no, 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 no. It's It's got to be different, because if you got a black skin, you have to have a different brain than the white people do, or less of a brain. I mean, the slurs are all over. They come from both sides of the aisle and from all races against each other. And, of course, this rush to tear down monuments across our nation is Mount Rushmore the other day serving as a backdrop for President Trump saying this monument will stand. But they continue to rip and tear down and put graffiti on others. And as I said earlier, even tearing down a statue of the abolitionist Frederick Douglass, who fought for slavery to get them free. Dr. Ben Carson has an idea. Rather than tearing all this down and destroying history, why don't we consider this?
As we divide ourselves, we allow ourselves to be divided. We are destroying the very fabric of our nation. This is called the United States of America. And this is what we need to think about. You know, and instead of trying to tear down our history, maybe what we need to be doing is adding to our history. Let's put some statues up of Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, Elijah McCoy, who invented the automatic lubrication system for locomotive engines. People tried to always copy his stuff, and people would say, is that a McCoy? Is that the real McCoy? He was an African-American inventor. There's a lot of things that we can be putting up and make sure that everybody feels that they're included in the development of this great nation of ours.
That's an outstanding idea. I'm all in favor of that. Civil rights attorney Leo Terrell, a black man, talked about Mount Rushmore, the president celebrating our nation's birthday. He said that's a great place for him to celebrate. And then he added a tweet because he was talking about what the Democrat Party did. Civil rights attorney Leo Terrell said that tweet, I want people to hear this, the Democrat Party calling this a white supremacy meeting of Trump at the statue at the Mount Rushmore. A white supremacy meeting, he said that is the race card at its highest level. And it came from the Democratic Party. We got to quit name calling. We got to join together. Please. Back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.